Cocoa Beach, and Vieira, FM 102.3.
We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And good morning to you, Brevard County. Thank you for tuning into the Refresh radio program. And every day that goes by, we get closer and closer to autumn weather, which means that it might be 5 degrees cooler, but hey, 5 degrees is 5 degrees, and we'll take whatever cooler weather we can get. So we want to thank you for tuning into the Refresh radio program. Let me tell you about Jits Concrete today, 321-536-5804, 321-536-5804. I had a text message from a person the other day, and they said, Pastor Bob, can you recommend a person in this field? And I said, well, I can. And so I did. And, you know, that happens quite a bit. So, you know, I can recommend AC and electric people to you. I can recommend landscaping to you, but I can also recommend concrete work people because, listen, that takes skill. I remember when I was in school, you know, a lot of times the people who went to art classes weren't necessarily the athletes and the construction worker types and things like that. But the more that I have grown up, I've realized that not only are these trade professions hard work, there's also an art to it. That they have to know what they are doing in order to get the finish. And Jits Concrete, they are master artists when it comes to working with concrete. And, you know, I've told you about their decades of experience, both personally and cumulatively as a team. They have a great area of expertise in knowing the codes and the materials and the tools and all of that sort of stuff. And they have the great work ethic. But I want you to know that they're not just going to slap it down there and say, well, you know, that'll look as good as it can look. I've done or seen people do some concrete work, and it's like they didn't give any consideration to what it was going to look like. So what I did was, when it came time to repair that, I called Jits Concrete, and they did a fantastic job in making that repair look like it had never happened. So Jits Concrete, 321-536-5804. Call them, have them come out and take a look at your project. They can give you an estimate and a time frame, and they can do a great job for you like they have done for us. So here we are in the middle of September, and fall is actually just a week or so away. And so I want to encourage you to finish strong. I've been doing at the church the word that God had given me for 2022 was discipleship. And so I'd been preaching a message or a series of messages on discipleship, and I concluded that a few weeks ago on pursuit, on living a life of pursuit of the knowledge of God and the lifestyle of God, the fruits of God, and you do that together. I want to ask you today, you pursuing God the way that God wants you to pursue him? Because there's no one on earth, no one in hell that can prevent you from pursuing God. You're the only person that sets that limitation. And so I want to encourage you, finish strong. Finish 2022 strong, start off 2023 strong, and get even stronger the more that you go. That's what I think would be pleasing and acceptable in the sight of God. So today we are going to go back to Acts chapter 10, And I'm going to begin reading in verse number 39. This is where Peter is ministering at the house of Cornelius. And it says, "And we are witnesses of all things which he did, both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they killed by hanging on a tree, him God raised up on the third day and showed him openly, not to all the people, but to witnesses chosen before by God, even to us who ate and drank with him after he arose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that it is he who was ordained by God to be judge of the living and the dead. To him all the prophets witness that through his name whoever believes in him will receive remission of sins." So I want to give you just a little bit of a background of where we have been. If you remember, in verse number 33 of Acts chapter 10, Cornelius says to Peter, "Now therefore we are all present before God to hear all the things commanded you by God." I want you to know that the things that we preach from our pulpits here in America should come from the throne room of heaven and no other place. I remember when I was ministering in a different state. I was very young. I'd gone there as a youth pastor, and I saw this one particular church. It was a kind of a landmark. Wasn't kind of, it was a landmark. It was one of the things that made this city that I ministered in pretty famous. And so people would travel around to see this one particular church. And when I drove by this church, I looked at their church sign. It wasn't an Assembly of God church. Wasn't even really a Christian church, a traditional Christian church. And they had out there what they were going to be preaching on. They were going to be preaching from a certain book, and that book wasn't the Bible. It wasn't a book of faith at all. It was a book that you could have checked out at the library. And I said, why would a church be preaching something that is not the inspired word of God? And come to find out, there are all sorts of churches that they preach all sorts of things, but they are not the things that God has commanded us to speak. And so Cornelius said, we want to hear what God has commanded you to say. There were people from a Greek background that came to the disciples and said, "Sirs, we would see Jesus." I think our society is still looking to experience the reality of God firsthand for themselves. They want to see God at work. They want to see the presence of God in operation, and they want to hear, they want to know what God has to say in, you know, our time frame. God has chosen us, positioned us, placed us strategically to be his hands, his feet, his mouth, to be available to him, to be used for his glories as ambassadors. Right now, you are not here by accident. You are here by choice. We need to go out and represent the things of God well. So in verse number 34 and 35, Peter begins to explain what God is doing in his life, what he is revealing to him. He says, I'm just now, you know, experiencing this spiritual growth. I'm on a growth journey, this spiritual truth. I'm on a growth journey with God. He doesn't leave us at a stagnant place. I was having a conversation recently with someone, and they were talking about how there were some people that he was having a discussion with, and they had hit the coast button. They no longer found that it was important for them to fellowship with other saints. It was no longer important for them to be involved in the work of evangelism. They were just coasting towards the finish line. And they've got some years behind them, but they're still fully functional. They're still healthy. And I want you to know that as long as you have breath in your lungs, you have purpose for your life, and you need to be about the Father's business from as early as possible till as late as possible. Don't go out with a whimper. Go out with in a blaze of glory, if you will, representing Jesus till the very end. And so Peter says, God's still doing a work in me. In verses 36 through 38, which is where we have spent the past several broadcasts, Peter says this in verse number 36, that word you know. And so he begins by telling them what God is doing in his life. And he says, okay, let's start with where you are. Let's start with the things that you know. And Peter tells them the things that they already know. When I was in school, there were these things called prerequisites. That meant that you needed that subject. You needed to master that particular course before you went on to the next course, because having that fundamental relationship that you already knew was going to set you up for success in the things that you did not yet know. Too many times, people would get passed on to a different grade and they didn't have the foundational materials to set them up for success, and the lack of those foundations set them up for failure instead. So Peter starts by ministering to what his audience already knows. And if you look back at the first martyr, you know, back in Acts chapter 8, Acts chapter 7, you see that Stephen did the exact same thing. When he was ministering to those who were not receptive to his ministry, he started off with the Word of God, and he most of his sermon is dealing with things that they said, yep, that's right, that's true. You've got to establish that relationship and that understanding. Okay, this is where these people are. Where do we need to get you from here? Verse number 39, Peter begins to transition from the word that they already know to the things that Peter had heard and seen and experienced. Look at what it says in verse number 39. And we are witnesses of all things which he, Jesus, did both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem. As far as church surveys, polls that they do, the number one reason that people of faith, people who love Jesus, do not talk to other people who do not know Jesus about Jesus is because they do not feel equipped. They don't feel like they're trained enough. They begin to say things like, well, I don't have a college education. I've never been to Bible college. Let me ask you something. Have you been to Sunday school? Have you been to a faith development class? Because I think that would be something that would be very important. It's one of the reasons why we started the Fire Bible discipleship thing, Bible study on Wednesday nights, is so that, that will be tonight at 7 p.m., is we want people to know the Word. We want people to be grounded in the Word so that they are not living in error, that they are not living without knowing the Word of God. And so Peter here, he comes and he says, let me tell you what I've heard. Let me tell you what I saw. He said, I am a witness of not just the things that Jesus did. Okay, he did it in Jerusalem. He did it in the land of the Jews. He said, I am a firsthand witness, not a hearsay witness. I didn't heard it from a friend who heard it from a friend. I'm a person who I was there when these things took place. I heard it said one time, a person with a testimony is never at the mercy of a person with an argument. You and I have heard things and we have seen things. So let me just give God a little bit of praise this morning. Have a family in our church, and it's been a very difficult season for the family. One of their, an additional family member was in a desperately ill situation, not knowing whether or not they were going to live. If they did live, they were going to need an organ transplant, but it was completely and totally uncertain whether they were going to survive that long. And we were able to share a testimony just a couple of weeks ago that not only are they out of the hospital, not only are they back at home, they are back at work, and the blood work that has been done shows that they're no longer going to need the transplant. God is working a miracle in their body and in their life. And so we praise God for that. Thank God for the things that you've heard. You know, if you can't do anything else, tell people what you've heard and what you've seen in the kingdom of God. Don't tell them the bad things that happened to you and just focus on those. I could tell you about a bad experience in this area of my life or a bad experience in that. Did you know that people are wired to tell more people about the bad things that have happened than they are about the good things? What if we had a rewiring that took place in our spirit where we said, like Jeremiah, that the word of God, the things that we've experienced was like fire that is shut up in our bones, that we could not help but to speak of the things of God, that we couldn't help but to tell people how he saved us and how he healed us and provided for us and ordered our steps and directed our paths. What if we said, these are the things that I've experienced, I've witnessed myself? He said, let me tell you, these are the things that I saw Jesus do, heard him do. I was there. I was there when he called Lazarus out of the tomb. I was there when he fed the 5,000. I was there when he turned the water into wine. I was there when they crucified him, and I was there on Resurrection Day when he came walking into the room. Let me tell you about the things that he has done. The things that he has done can establish us in faith to believe not only for the future, but for our current circumstances as well. So Peter goes on, and then he says, the second thing that I can share with you as a witness is that I was there when they killed him by hanging him on a tree. Okay, doesn't say that he almost died. He said, they killed him. They killed him. Now, I want to relieve you of the burden of feeling any sort of anger towards the people who actually did that. It was our sin that made the trip to the cross necessary. And just because we didn't live during that time doesn't mean that our sin did not play a part. Jesus went to the cross to deal once and for all with the sins of humanity, past, present, and future. There is repentance that is available to you and to I, or you and to me. It's available to us. So he said, I saw him die. I don't know if you've ever been there. I don't know if you've ever watched as life left a body. It's a very sobering moment. When we're young, we think that we are invincible, that we're, we're just going to live without any problems for the rest of our lives. I tell people, I said, you know, I never really gave too much consideration to being the age that I am. And the more birthdays I get, the younger that seems to me. And so, lest you think that I'm ready to keel over, I am not. I'm doing the best that I can to take good care of this body. But I realize this, that there's coming a day when either Jesus is going to have the trumpet sound and I'm going to be carried out of this place into his presence, or my body will breathe its final breath and my heart beat its last beat. It is appointed unto man, every person, once to die, and then comes the judgment. Okay? Peter said, I watched him die. He wasn't almost dead. He was dead. I watched them thrust the spear into his side. He watched him. He said, but I tell you what also I'm a witness to. I'm a witness that God raised him up on the third day. Hallelujah. Let's not put a period where God has a comma. Let's not fixate on something that is not final and miss out on what is. The resurrection of Jesus Christ continues to this day. He is seated at the right hand of the Father on September the 14th, 2022. That's where he's at. He is very active. He is interceding for you right now. He is interceding for me. He is preparing a place for us that where he is, there we may be also. He is listening attentively to the Father in case this is the moment that he says, son, go get your bride. He's raised from the dead. Now, the people in Athens ridiculed and made fun of the thought of resurrection. Now, in their mythology, they had no problem thinking that there were people who, you know, found their way back, you know, across the river Styx and came back and, you know, stole their way back into the land of the living. They didn't have any problem. But when Paul told them about Jesus being raised from the dead, they laughed him to scorn. Listen, just because something had never happened with man does not mean that it is not possible with God. A lot of people say, oh, you can't do that, and then turn around and watch as somebody makes a reality of what they said could not be done. So he said, I watched him raise up on the third day, and he was shown openly, not to all the people, but to witnesses chosen by God, even to us who ate and drank with him after he arose from the dead. He said, I just didn't think that I saw him raised from the dead. I'm a witness that I actually broke bread with him and that I shared things to drink with him. And you say, well, how in the world do you have any proof of that? Well, all you got to do is turn over to John chapter 21, and you can see that that is one of the instances. There was another place where the disciples did not believe that Jesus had appeared to them after they had watched him die. They didn't believe that he was resurrected. And he said, do you have anything to eat? The two men on the road to Emmaus, they had journeyed with Jesus. They had made it to Emmaus. Jesus was going to continue on the journey, and they encouraged him to come in and have fellowship with him. And all of a sudden he breaks bread and gives thanks. And all of a sudden their eyes were open and they saw that it was Jesus. And they said, didn't our heart burn within us? There were people who saw and experienced that it wasn't just a figment of their imagination. It's a reality. The resurrection is transformative in the life of every believer, because the resurrection of Jesus gives us the evidence that we need to know that there is life after death and that he is going to raise not only Jesus up from the dead, he's already done that, but he's going to raise you up from the dead. Peter said, I've already experienced it. So I am not afraid to lay down my life here, knowing that as the same way that Jesus laid his life down and the Father raised him up, he's going to raise us up as well. The resurrection, what was experienced, you know, if it was just one person you might think, I'm just kind of really out there with my imagination right now. But there, at one point in time, there was 500 people that all saw the same thing, experienced the same reality. Besides that, there were the disciples. There were 10 of them that were gathered in a room. Thomas wasn't there the first time. There were 10 disciples. There were other people in the room, and Jesus appeared to them in that room. It is impossible for multiple people to experience the same fantasy at the same time. But if it's reality, it's not fantasy. It is faith inspiring and faith building. So Peter, as he's operating under the command, you know, what's God doing in your life? So whenever I preach, there's more than likely going to be some personal revelations inside of that message about what God has been doing in my life. You have to start where people know, or what people know. A lot of times we make a mistake in assuming that everybody knows the Bible. Everybody knows this story, or everybody knows that story. Well, not in America anymore. You have to lay the foundation. I was talking to someone not too long ago, and it was a business establishment. And finally, I had to stop them and said, look, the culture in which you function understands what you are saying, but I'm not from that culture. I'm trying to get into that. I'm trying to, you know, see if I can't make my, it was a gym. So I'll just tell you, they spoke gym language. I didn't speak gym language, and all sort. And I need you to speak to me from a level that I know and that I'm able to understand. And once we got there, then we can move forward where we are. I want to encourage you today. Don't be afraid to tell your story. Find out where people are, and then tell them what you've experienced. Tomorrow, we're going to move on to verse number 42. And I can tell you that is a great and wonderful thing. But you have a personal story. If you don't, come to Merit Assembly of God, because we want you to know God, and He will rewrite His story in your life, and it will have a wonderful, wonderful ending, and you will have a wonderful purpose, and that you will get to experience the joy of the Lord. Hey, tonight at 7 p.m. is our Fire Bible Discipleship class. We want to encourage you to come and be a part of that and grow in your understanding of the Word so that you can share Jesus with those around you. See you tomorrow right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merit Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.